is the Gabcast, a podcast about BellGab.com. Call the show now at 623-242-CAST. That's 623-242-2278. Now, shut up, sit down, and listen to the damn show.
Oh, that music. That music is so trumpety. Anyway, this is the Gabcast. Hi, everybody. I'm MV. Jazzmunda's here. What's up, brother?
Hey.
The Mud King, also known as Curtis, he's here.
What's going on?
Hey, man. And Redacted, our talk show hole, is here. No, I'm just...
What was that?
Well, you know how every talk show has to have the woman's perspective. It's she's just there to chuckle at everything the guys say and to rein them all in when they go too far into the weeds.
I thought that was my role on the show.
Oh, guys! Opie and Anthony always make fun of the talk show hole. Oh, guys! What are you doing? What are you talking about that for? Women aren't all like that. Oh, guys. I'm not saying that's how you really are, Redacted. I'm just having a little fun with you there.
Anyway.
Yeah. You sound a little butthurt. My God. Jeez.
Well, you know, I thought that was my role. You promised me.
Let's reboot the show. Hey. Anyway, if you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. That is 623-242-2278. I tried to increase the number of listener slots before we started the show tonight, but I don't know, man. It seems like the company that I have the Shoutcast hosting with that we use in order for you to be able to tune into this show live, it seems like they're imploding because the user interface that you use in order to configure the server, I can't even log into it. As a matter of fact, when I try to do so, I get a message. This doesn't bode well. Error! This installation of Syntovacast is using an expired license key. Please contact an administrator for assistance. So that really doesn't sound good. I'd say things aren't going well over there. It's been a while since I tried to log into that, but I mean, good God, it shouldn't be that hard to increase your... I'm trying to give you people more money. I'm trying to hand more money to them. And they've made it just exponentially more difficult than it actually needs to be. I don't know what to do about that. Anyway, this is the Gabcast. It's a podcast about BellGab.com. What do you guys want to talk about? I've done no show prep. I'm just totally walking in here, winging it, ass flapping in the breeze, all that stuff.
I thought you were a professional.
No, I'm not. I'm using a $134 Behringer mixer. I'm using a 17-inch Dell monitor. These are not professional tools of the trade here.
Your $20,000 on a setup?
You know, that's
$19,000 short.
Yeah, I'd really like to know, based on Art's post on BellGab, Art Bell's post, where he said that he's anticipating or prepared to spend something on the order of $20,000 in order to put his podcast setup together. I just, for the life of me, can't begin to imagine how you account for that level of expense. And it kind of reminds me, I don't know if I've said this on the show before or not, but my gut tells me I have, but so what? It kind of reminds me of when Bruce Williams left radio and then he came back in the form of a podcast for a while. And it was really great having Bruce Williams back. And then suddenly he goes away again. And he said it was because it was costing him around $10,000 a month to podcast. And I'm thinking, my God, here's this guy, Bruce Williams. I mean, he's supposed to be the businessman's businessman. This is a guy who's been in business since he was old enough to, you know, stop shitting the bed. He's been in business that long. Since, like, the World War II era, this guy's been in business. And he wasn't able to figure out that it doesn't cost $10,000 a month to podcast. I kind of get similar, which I guess maybe Art's philosophy there is that he's uber concerned about quality of audio. But as I pointed out on the show, on the website, I mean, look at my setup here. What does it come? Maybe $1,500 worth of equipment here, maybe, and I think we sound great.
$30 headset.
Yeah.
Do you think he's being taken for a ride by somebody who's thinking, oh, this guy's not going to, no, I'll just sell him the top of the line equipment.
Jim's podcast audio shack.
Yeah. Hey, guys. It makes you wonder.
Don't give out my website address too often.
Yeah. Someone's making him buy the rust coating.
Yes.
Now, well, you see, you don't get that true coat. You get oxidation, and once that happens, you said you're going to sell me the car without the true coat for $19,500.
I'm sorry. Anytime, you know, you got to quote Fargo. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, did you guys listen to Ponyboy Sunset on Raleigh James? Did anyone hear that clip?
No.
I saw her post. But
Do you have the clip?
I don't have it queued up.
Oh, well, gee, thanks. That's great.
Well, I'm here to please. But I listened to it this afternoon, and it actually is very interesting to hear what Raleigh James has to say and what she talked about. Like, her whole point that Raleigh makes is that she went into podcasting and streaming on her small end stuff to make the point that you can do it for practically nothing. She said she wanted to prove a point. And I think she is a skeptic when it comes to Art's return. I think you should listen to it. I don't want to try to put words into her mouth, but
I'm sure she doesn't want to be a skeptic because there's no
bigger. No, I don't think she does either.
There's no bigger Art fan than Raleigh, I don't think, but she may be. I mean, why not? I mean, it's fair to be a skeptic of Art's return. Look what we've witnessed since October 31st of 2013. Sirius XM quit, and then he was going to fight the no-compete, then he's not going to fight the no-compete, then he's going to come back, and then, you know, I think there was a pre-quit before the Keith Rowland thing, wasn't there? But I'm not recalling what it was. Maybe there wasn't. But then there's the Keith Rowland. I mean, I don't have to go through the list, so it's not crazy for someone to be a little bit doubtful as to what's going to happen in July of this year.
Would you say that he was Tommied or Don Hazard?
Who?
Us.
Would I say he was Tommied?
No, sorry. Right now, the forum is going through a renaissance stage, and I can't even say it.
My God, what's happened to you?
I know. That's one of my favorites.
I'm wondering what's going on here, Curtis.
You've got no audio clips. You think the name of the show is Gabcock. There's a real problem here.
I'm having a stroke. Gabcock. I can't say it.
Really?
The word dictionary with Gab in front of it. Someone say it for me.
Oh, Gabcastionary.
Yeah.
Because I was going to have like a Tourette's freak out if I didn't hear the word at least.
Well, I think they wrote it Gabcastationary.
Yeah, it's hard to.
But it should have just been Gabcastionary, right? Or Gabtionary. No.
Gabtionary.
No, there wasn't any cast. It was just strictly. So Gab.
Yeah, it's for
Gabtionary. Yeah. Well, you know what? I would forgive someone for sounding like a total stroke mouth trying to regurgitate that. That's just a screwed up word. I don't hold that against you. But I mean, you hear it's kind of like, I don't know, it's multifaceted. You're mispronouncing that. You forget to bring the Raleigh clip. I don't know what's happening here tonight. I really don't.
I don't even.
I don't know.
So is there, okay. Wait. So Curtis, give us the summary of what the clip contains.
I think if you look in the IM, Jazz just sent a link to it. I think it's much better to hear it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent you a link to the thing, but it's just a link, I think, to Raleigh's downloads.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you can stream from there.
Is it Friday the 13th?
Yes, the 13th of Feb.
Don't ask me to say that word.
Feb. Okay, how far into the show do I need to go?
I don't know. She said she's the first caller. Curtis, how far into the show
is
that?
Yeah, she is the first caller. But the show starts off with just some opening conversation from Raleigh. I'd go like 2 minutes into it.
Really? That quickly into the show?
I think. We'll find out how wrong I am.
Okay.
But I think you'll like this, though, Michael, because Ponyboy did a good job of promoting Bell Gab. And you.
Promoting me. You know, when Raleigh was on, what was she on? Was she on the Trainwreck show?
Yeah, Trainwreck.
Yeah. I thought she enjoyed herself, but
No, she said she hated it.
Did she really?
Yeah, she did. On this, she gives the true scoop.
Well, either you're fucking with me.
Have I ever done that before?
No. So I mean, this is unprecedented. I mean, you're so straight-laced. But, I mean, I thought she enjoyed it, but then later on I went to her Facebook page and I posted on there, hey, everybody, all you Raleigh fans, just wanted to let you know about this interview with Raleigh. You might want to listen to it. And it was deleted from her wall or whatever the hell you call that. So I thought, well, okay, maybe she doesn't want anybody to listen to that for whatever reason. I don't know. I mean, it seemed like I thought I blew the interview. It was a shit interview on my part. But it seemed like she enjoyed it. I've said those words many times in my past, yeah, so I don't know.
Probably. Well, Dallas, New Orleans, in America.
And then I had this great thought. I'm getting
that's a
that'll be interesting.
Well,
today there are under 7 million. 7 million what? Under 7 million what in America? So there is your question.
Bumblebees.
Now we kick it off with Soroya in Detroit. How are you, Soroya?
Good evening, lovely rock star. How are you?
Well,
at this point, these two do share a one-room apartment together, right?
Yeah.
Raleigh and I.
Well, I think I'm half crazed, but I'm probably doing better than Luke.
Well, that's okay. We'll take you half crazed. That means it's going to be entertaining, right?
Well, we hope. So what have you been doing to while your time away?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. What have I done the last few weeks? Well, I have nothing really exciting, but I'm going to be going out of town next week, and I'm going to try to call you because I'll be getting tattooed then, and I thought that might be good radio.
Oh, my God. That'll be interesting. You'll be a first. I've never had anyone call while under the needles, so to speak. It always sounds horribly painful to me.
Well, I thought you'd enjoy it. Well, I just thought it'd be a fun night, but not that sounded terrible.
Yeah, right. Yeah, really, really. Well, I don't know. Based on your books with characters, maybe so. Speaking of that, what's the latest update on Velvet Heaven?
I have heard nothing back from anybody, but from what I understand, is this takes time.
Oh, hell yes.
I'm getting feedback, though, because I have a lady reading it who's a listener.
Okay.
And she's like, I cannot believe how well you nailed Raleigh's personality.
Oh, fine. Oh, good. I make a fine vampire, do I? Well.
Did I ever tell you how this all started? Did I tell you what originally gave me the idea?
No.
I think this is a good way forward for the Gabcast. We just sit here and listen to other talk shows.
This podcast about podcasts.
Yeah.
This is working for me.
It's a podcast about a forum, about a show that no longer exists, where we listen to other podcasts talking about the potential for the show that no longer exists to possibly return. That's
exactly.
I don't know who has a problem with that. That's pretty straightforward to me.
So one night, I was trolling the internet on different forums. I don't remember how I started down this road, but, you know, this happens when you get bored.
Absolutely.
And somebody had written this hilarious thread about you, about how they seriously thought you were a vampire.
Really?
And I thought, wow, wouldn't this be a great thing to write about?
Really? They thought I was a vampire?
I swear to God.
I wonder what it was.
It was your lifestyle, and this guy had this whole theory, and I can't find it.
Lifestyle. Ooh, that raises an eyebrow or two, huh? Well, am I right or am I right? Am I right? Right.
Yeah, I'm really mad. I went back to go find it because it's not a forum I belong to, and I haven't been able to find it since. This was like, I don't know, when I first started listening to you and talking to you, and I thought it was one of the funniest things I had ever heard. I read. You know, I was like, really?
You know,
and then I had this. Go ahead.
You never know how.
I've forgotten. What is it we're listening for in this clip again?
What's going on?
I don't know. I'm enjoying the slash fiction as a vampire.
I've forgotten why in the fuck we're listening to this.
What are we doing right now, Mike?
Okay, is the show over?
You know, as I said, program directors have no idea what they're talking about. They need to stay out of the way and let the talent do what they want. Okay, I mean, what are we listening for again? I swear to God, I don't even remember.
They're going to go into it. So Pointy Boy brings
it,
up.
Should I just let it keep playing, or are we close? Do I need to fast forward a little bit?
Fast forward just a little bit, because I mean, they are talking about her book and everything. Okay. That everyone
all right. Well, sounds good to me. I like it. Well, yeah, if being a night creature causes me to be a vampire, then I definitely qualify for that.
Well, what's weird about that is I read that thread, and 2 nights later, I had this nightmare.
Well, that's a very welcome change, no matter what it is.
Yeah, so anyway, I started the second book. So that's my update. So
Well, now I hear that Art Bell is not coming back.
Oh, but there's so much drama on that forum. You just never know.
And actually, strangely enough, I heard that from John. John, in passing, said, now Art's not coming back. And I was in the middle of coding something or other, and I said, oh? And he said, yeah, music rights. I said, wait a minute. He's been planning this for a year and a half and didn't calculate how much the music rights might be?
By coding, yeah. is she a developer?
That's what I wondered. That or she does medical coding. Who knows?
Raleigh is such an awesome woman. Just like, there's nothing you can talk about with her that she doesn't have some level of insight on, that she can't meet. There's no conversation where she can't meet you halfway. I mean, she's just done everything.
Well, okay, Raleigh, well, let's just talk about this for a second, because we were talking about it on, I've been, sorry, calling another show behind your back.
Good. No, that's great. What show?
Oh, the Gabcast.
It'd be hilarious if Raleigh just blurted out, you whore, and hangs the phone up on her and just...
I had a dream about you calling another podcast.
You radio calling slut.
I'm Bell Gab.
Very good. He had me on 1 week a couple of years ago.
He did, and you were really good. And actually, that was the first time I heard you.
No, she says you were really good. She doesn't say Michael was. And I mean, really, there's a reason for that.
Like, outside of, like, I hadn't called you yet, and I do all this research when I start to get into something. I'm like, oh, maybe this is something I should hear. And, yeah, he did a really good job with that interview.
Okay.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, I had fun. So it must have been good.
So,
I don't even think Raleigh remembers. I swear to God, listening to that right now, she has no idea who I am or what interview it is that anybody's talking about right there.
Anyway, he still does a show, and they do a show about the forum. So, like, if you're not on that forum, that show is irrelevant to you.
Oh, thanks.
But that hurts.
If you are, it's a lot of fun.
Jesus, shit. Do you have to be that direct about it? My God,
I mean, that was the payoff of this whole thing.
We all know it subconsciously, but you don't have to so directly articulate it. Holy shit.
So, anyway, Art at one point called them.
Go ahead, Curtis.
I think she summed up our podcast pretty well.
Yeah.
This was like last year.
Uh-huh.
He was in the chat room a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, so they just did this whole thing about, like, it just got, you know how things get out of control in a hurry. So all of us were talking about, because there are so many of us that podcast on that forum. Now, granted, he's got a way more sophisticated setup than I do.
Yes.
If I had more money, maybe I'd do what he's doing. He's got a condenser and all that. I mean, he sounds good. Whatever.
Okay.
So, but Art's saying that part of the original problem was that the studio was going to cost him $20,000. I'm like, there is how, Raleigh? Really?
She's like, he's got more, you know, he sounds good. And you know what? I mean, he buys his socks at Walmart. And
I mean, if I could afford, I would buy mine at Walmart too. But, you know.
He enjoys a nice bowl of grits. He's got occasional pocket lint problems. But, you know, he's all right. He's okay.
Well, I heard about that, and I didn't see it. But, you know, you can. It's possible to do that. But when I first started this show last year, because I had nothing but bandwidth to play with, I guess it was the year before now, my whole premise was you can do this for free, start to finish. And I still say, yes, you can. Now, music rights are going to cost you a little, but... I think what Art is screaming about at Music Rights is he's anticipating having thousands and thousands of listeners right off the bat. Well, good luck. It's the internet. If he has that many, then he can monetize it. But as far as putting a studio together, it does not cost much money. Now, pricey things, I'm thinking about things that might cost him some money depending on what he's doing. If he's using a delay, a broadcast delay... That's going to set it back.
Not really. I mean, you can buy a used delay off of eBay for probably $300. I'll bet you can get something on eBay that works and does the job for $300, at least for Art's purposes, you know, until he... I need to be a little louder there. At least until he figures out what things are going to be looking like going forward. Is it going to wind up being an endeavor that's worth spending a bunch of money on? But even a delay. I mean, that's not exactly high technology.
I wish we had one for a few moments ago when I couldn't pronounce a word.
Actually, we kind of do, but I just never really employ it.
A few grand, period. But he can buy a used one, a used Eventide that'll work perfectly fine. He can get a used Eventide for under a grand and something newer than the, you know, original BD, even, probably even newer than a BD 960. Well, maybe not newer than that, but certainly he could get a 500 for under a grand. So that would hit him for delay. Beyond that, boards are not expensive, no matter what you get. And my advice is always buy used stuff. eBay is your friend. I buy a generation down of anything. You know, we needed some Windows machines for the studio, and of course I hate Windows machines. I break up in a rash, but some of that software, that's it. And so John bid on a public auction, and I think he got 11 of them for $200.
I'm not surprised. I'm actually in the process of, when I get done talking to you, I'm looking at buying a used MacBook. That's one of the things I'm doing with my taxes. So I love eBay.
Exactly. And there's so many things. Obviously, he needs a phone system. But there again, you know, you can look around. Yeah,
I think from there, they go off several tangents. So.
Hmm. Well,
but I think the point there is that she pretty much called out. I mean, I don't think she meant to. It's in a loving way, I guess, that Art maybe has his hopes set pretty high, thinking that he's going to hit big right out of the gates, when in reality, it's okay to start small.
And he will start small.
I have no problem with him not going bargain basement. Like, he doesn't have to buy used equipment. I've got no problem with him wanting to, you know, have not necessarily the best equipment out there, but solid, decent equipment.
He does have that.
Here's what everyone needs to remember. We are used to hearing Art on AM terrestrial radio. AM terrestrial radio audio resolution is on par with MP3 audio sampled at 22,000 hertz, encoded at like 24 kilobits per second. I mean, it's really low quality audio. So there's not, you know, the bar isn't very high as far as how great you need to sound in order to deliver talk radio. People are used to hearing talk radio on AM, and it's been fine for all these years. My big, huge Art Bell collection, most of those files are encoded at 24 kilobits per second, and that doesn't bother me one bit because I'm just so accustomed to hearing Art on AM radio. To me, it just sort of adds to the authenticity of the experience of going back and listening to those shows. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, it's PBS.
Well, hey there.
How are you guys? I went to turn on the show and I was here myself.
Isn't that just freaky? It's like you've traveled interdimensionally.
Yes, and I thought, you know, since I'm being, what did you call me, a podcast whore?
No, a radio whore. Radio whore. You're calling too many shows. You really should just choose one. You know, that's how disease spreads. I just want to put that out there.
Well, it's not you, it's me, you know.
You're using the it's not you, it's me? I use the it's not you. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Look, seriously, remember way back when we talked about it, and you didn't think that she enjoyed doing the interview with you. She in fact did.
Well, I don't think, listening to that call, though, it sounded like I don't think she really even remembers being on.
I would beg to differ with you. Raleigh wouldn't have said something. She doesn't remember it. But at any rate, I thought you guys might like to hear what she had to say about, like, the cost, because it was interesting, at least to me, and we've all been talking about it.
So you're saying we should have let it continue to play?
No. Curtis is right. It goes off on tangents, and we do trivia. No. That was pretty much it.
Oh, well, shit. Why'd we stop it?
Actually, that was the best part of it.
I want to know who released Keep on Truckin' in 1973.
No, we're talking Gerardo.
She can probably tell you, but she hates it.
You know, I won the prize pack from Raleigh James one time, and that was because I properly answered the question, who sang Keep on Truckin', that being Eddie Kendricks. And since I was enough of a douche to actually know the answer to that question at the age of 30, I received a prize pack, and you get like a couple 45s, a couple comic books. It was actually really neat, the stuff that she sent, and at some cost to herself, by the way. I mean, the intrinsic value of the materials plus the shipping, it was quite nice.
So you, like, hit the geek lottery.
Yeah, I mean, just all that useless knowledge. Thank God I know who did keep on trucking. Thank God I'm largest Temptations fan. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, she does that for everyone. And I'm just thrilled she did read my book. I got to send her the last
part. Did she really?
Swear to God.
Okay, now look. I'm going to just be perfectly honest with you. Usually if someone comes up to me and tells me, and this is no commentary directly toward you or at all, but you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about when I say this. Usually when someone comes to you and tells you they've written a book and they want you to read it, if you read it, usually you're going to be disappointed. Usually it's going to be a huge pile of crap. So
what if the book was about you as a vampire? I mean, like, yeah. So I come up to you and I say, hey, Michael, I've written a book. I'd like you to read it. And you say, oh, yeah, I'll read it. I say, no, hold on, Michael. It's about you as a vampire. You're going to read it, right?
Am I bi in the book?
That's the only kind of vampire there is.
If I'm bi, I'll read it. Otherwise, I want nothing to do with it. Anyway, what I'm asking you is for an honest self-assessment. I mean, are you quite confident? If I sit down and read your book, am I going to be disappointed?
No.
No?
No, absolutely. It's going to
I guess that's a stupid question. What are you going to say? Well, Michael, it really is a pile of shit. I've been wiping with it. You know, just I haven't purchased toilet paper in 6 months. You know, I'm on page 43. I've got a few more to tear. No, but, I mean, so what would you say? But, I mean, you sound like someone who is capable of self-assessment, and so I guess what I'm saying is, can you send me a free copy of your book? I'll read it.
Yeah.
You really will?
Swear to God.
Okay. Is it going to be a hard copy?
It's got to be off the forum, though, because I've got two publishers looking at it. You can't post it anywhere.
Who are the publishers?
A friend of mine from high school and somebody else I can't disclose currently.
And how much money are they offering you?
They're not yet.
And what's your social security number?
Too.
What's that?
I said, what's your social security number?
Michael, you'll have to sign a non-compete for this, okay?
So your friend from high school, what is he? I mean, is he like a part of a publishing company?
Why is it a he? It might not be a he.
It's a she, and she owns her own publishing company.
Well, it's just somebody in a position of power and prestige. I assume it's a man, you know?
Drunkard in the chat room said Publisher's Clearinghouse.
Say what? Oh, okay. So what's your book about?
What's my book about?
Yeah.
Well, I wrote Raleigh is a Vampire. You guys know this? You were discussing it.
Wait. The book is about Raleigh James?
Yeah.
Did you not hear the clip that you just played?
No, I didn't.
I mean, come on.
Paying attention,
I was putting foot powder in my shoes during the clip. What are you people? Are you serious?
Yeah, there's a character swear to God, there's a character based on Raleigh. I started writing her in something else because she did something for me as a thank you, and it took a life of its own. And I don't know. I don't even know at this point. I've had a couple listeners read it. I've had some of my friends read it.
So it's a character that walks in, installs an Optimod 8400 in your FM broadcast chain, and then turns around and bites the shit out of your neck.
Did you hear the part when she said that she nailed Raleigh?
What'd you say?
Hey, Pony, is there any sexual content in the book?
She nailed Raleigh.
Yes, but not
involving Raleigh.
Not me.
Give me a description of one of the sexual scenes.
Oh, no,
actually, no, don't.
Doing that. You got to buy it to read that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Well, come on. I mean, I can go online and watch people taking dumps on one another. There's nothing you could say that's going to shock us or.
Is this the dark web you're talking about?
I can't disclose this because, see, I'm just not going to.
Well, Drunkard in the chat room wants to know if she sparkles in the sunlight.
Absolutely not.
How many shades of gray are there in it?
Zero.
Good.
Okay, so you're going to send me a copy of this book, and I'm assuming it's a digital copy, right?
Yes.
Okay. And is there any possibility of you printing it and mailing it to me in a manila envelope?
I actually could do that if you really wanted me to.
Well, that's what I demand.
Well, you know what that means? That means you have to send me an address.
Well, see, now you've gone too far. You know, if you could just be a little less forward, please.
Hey, you could be a troll in the next book.
It's a little too close to home. I have a family to protect. I can't be just willy-nilly. Hey, everybody, send me stuff. Yeah, I swear to God, B-Dub says, MB scares me. So, I don't know. Why am I scaring you? I'm just a man who wants to read a good book. Why am I so scary?
Hey, Pony Boy, say the title of your book again.
What's the book called?
Velvet Heaven.
Velvet Heaven. And
never been there.
I mean, give us a synopsis. What is the book about? I mean, sell the book to us.
Sell the book to you guys. Okay, it's about this woman who's a talk show host who gets turned into a vampire who's over 50. And it's just about her struggle to adapt to life as a vampire at that age.
How does she get turned into a vampire?
She gets attacked at a radio conference.
By another vampire?
By a listener.
No, not by a listener. That's funny. Yes, by another vampire.
How did that person become a vampire?
Oh, now, see, I'm not divulging all of the secrets. You have to read
it, man. Well, see, I think this story sounds very poorly thought out and just haphazardly construed. I've just lost it. I'm sorry. I don't want this book. I want nothing. No, I'm kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time.
It's one man's opinion.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I do want to read your book, though. So if you could send me a copy, I will only post it on Belgab from time to time. And a limited number of people will be able to publicly download it, I can assure you.
Just the sexual parts, please.
Yeah, but Pony, I'm not sure
I want. You guys don't want the book. You just want the.
I'm not sure I want to read sexual fiction involving people over 50. I won't see the movie.
You know what? I hadn't considered that. I mean, you know, you've got a bit of a problem there. Why does she have to be over 50?
Will there be an audiobook of this, and will you be reading it?
Hey, there's a good question.
I would absolutely do that. I totally would. And if you go back on some of my old podcasts, I did read part of it.
So is the main character... Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you had good podcasting equipment like Michael, do you really believe you could do a podcast better than him? Because I think I got that from your conversation with Raleigh.
Yeah, you know, you kind of came off a little, I don't know, it was a bit of a salvo.
I absolutely could not do a better podcast than Michael, first of all.
No, go ahead and say yes to that. That was the wrong answer.
It's not true.
So the main character in your book is a postmenopausal vampire.
Absolutely.
See, I don't know about the sexiness of that. I mean, because you got to make me, when I'm reading this book, I have to be, better, you know.
I know, B-Dub starts to cover. He's down with a hot 50-year-old.
Say that again.
B-Dub says he's down with a hot 50-year-old.
I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, well, B-Dub's.
What is B-Dub, like 63?
That says more about B-Dub.
Yeah. You know, wasn't there a story about B-Dub that was posted on the forum just the other day about this guy who was having sex with corpses? I'm sorry, over 50? I don't know. That's a bit tough. No, it's not. I don't know. I think that if you could just make a bit of a modification to the story and place her within childbearing years of her life.
you just know that the Hollywood, when they come knocking at the door, they're going to ask you to change it to a 20-year-old.
I think if Michael had it would be a 30-something podcaster / web forum owner who happened to be turned into a vampire.
Oh, gentlemen, I'm not changing it. I appreciate your feedback.
We're joking.
I don't think you should change it.
Is the main character white, black, Asian?
Oh my God, didn't we just go over this? She's white.
Racist.
Absolutely.
You know, I've really got no time for racial prejudice on this show. I don't It's not what we do here, the Gabcast. Well, please send me a copy of your book. I really would like to read it. How many pages is it?
311.
Oh, wow. So you really spent some time.
The first in one, I'm writing three about the same character. Started the second book already.
Wow.
A trilogy. Nice.
So,
yes.
Okay, B-Dub says Raquel Welch at 50. Hell yes. Even that I don't know, because wasn't she about 50 when she appeared in Seinfeld? And sorry, it doesn't move when I feast my eyes on that. I'll just put it that way. What is Raquel Welch? She's like 78 now? I don't know.
I'm not sure. But thank you guys for, you know, playing my stuff and plugging my book. I appreciate it.
Well, it really would. I mean, that would be awesome if somehow you just struck gold and this whole thing turned out to be exactly what you in your mind want it to be. That would be great. I hope you make $1 million.
Thank you. If I make any money, I'll be happy, honestly. And it served its purpose. The person I wrote it for liked it. And that's what I did it for. So anything on top of that is gravy. It's just that I have an audience. People want it. It's just a matter of getting somebody who will publish it. And if not, I'll do it myself.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. And what?
Thanks. Somebody wanted to know how long it took me to write it. I did it in 11 months.
Did you, I tried writing a book. I tried writing a fictional book one time, a novel. And, I don't know, about a quarter of the way into it, I just gave up. It's just, I don't know. I mean, that was a long time ago, though. Maybe my ability to put all that together would be a little better now than it was at the time. I don't know. I think I'm a better writer now than I was at the time that I tried to write that. But it is hard to write a lengthy piece of fiction. It's not easy at all. And if you've never tried to do that, you can't really understand it. I mean, some people have a problem just writing like a 1,000-word essay. Imagine writing an entire novel. You got to tie everything together. Everything has to fit. There can't be any mistakes. Everything's got to be consistent. It's a bitch. So, yeah, I hope you make $1 million. But I am interested to see, I am interested to read it. If you want to be on the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-2278. One of you told me there was something you wanted to talk about before the show, and I can't remember who it was or what you said. Do you know who you are?
Because you're paying such close attention tonight.
No, I literally am. I'm taking care of my feet. They don't smell too great. And the Dr. Scholl's powder is in full use here. Well, I'm just gonna sit here. I am through carrying this show, so I'm just gonna sit here and awkwardly let you guys figure out what you want to talk about.
Well, did you want to talk about the post that Art made on Belgab this week about the comment from the radio guy working for a big AM station?
I mean, do we always have to be talking about Art Bell? Is that really No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's what the website's about.
Go ahead.
Wait, there's a word for I don't that. Know. Hold on, what was it?
Do you know who this comment was from or where the comment originally came from?
That's a great question because I wondered that too.
It was posted by Winter Minute, I think.
Winter Mute? Winter Mute?
Minute. Winter Minute.
I think it's Mute.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going with the group on this one.
Oh. Okay. Path of Least Resistance, huh, Kurt?
It just sounds good.
Okay, so
I recognize that name. Why don't...
Damn it. Okay, well,
I'm going to look him up.
If I find Art's post... You can use you can use a few of the words from Art's post where he quotes this individual, and you can quickly find the original post where it was submitted to the forum.
Well, in the meantime, I wanted to bring up how we've had a nice nice renaissance here for the forum and the stuff we're doing, because you had Ponyboy talking on Raleigh's show. There was Delphi on the Howard Hughes show recently. Jimmy Church, from what somebody had posted, maybe took a backhanded slap at us at belgab.com. it's not been a bad week, two weeks for Bell Gab. A lot of fun stuff's being posted.
Jimmy Church is talking about the forum.
I haven't listened to the clip. I haven't brought myself to do that yet. But I guess he made his own Nori-like comment about haters.
Oh, really? Oh, we have to find this.
Yeah, and I wish I was more prepared for that one. But I just remember, I saw the conversation about it, but didn't go any deeper.
Okay, well, good job being completely unprepared, Curtis.
Hey, I'm here to please. If by failing is pleasure, then I've done a good job.
Yeah, I'm looking to... I'm looking for this, the original post. If he podcasts, it'll be mild. Okay, let me search for that quote. If he podcasts, it'll be mildly successful. Let's see who posted that. Winter Mute. You know, there are a few display names where I see those display names a million times, and I don't realize that my mental pronunciation of those names is wrong. I mean, like Sardondi or Sardondi. I thought his name was Sardoni.
So did I for a long time.
Like 33 years, I thought it was Sardoni. Oh, gosh. Where is the... I can't find the original post. Why couldn't...
I don't think it was Winter Mute because I'm looking at his posts. And it was?
Yeah, I saw it... I saw it earlier because I took some of the phrases out of that quote that Art put on the forum and found the original post where... Winter Mute, as you guys contend he's called.
Well, he is.
Well, that remains to be seen, sir.
Well, I'm looking at it now, so unless I can't read.
Well, I still contest your assertion. I don't know, but he said that he went out to eat with someone, with this guy, so it's apparently somebody he knows.
Oh, I did read that post, but...
But it
was
just
it a while ago? Would it have been in January?
Who knows? But I mean, if you want like a really relevant assessment of where broadcasting is now and where it's going to go or where it needs to go, I think a program director at an AM radio station is pretty much the last source of information you should be extracting that from. I mean, as I said on the forum earlier, generally when I hear the terms program director, that to me is synonymous with failure. That to me is synonymous with someone who, that's synonymous with killjoy. Program directors, in my experience, are people who live for the purpose of impeding your ability to be entertaining on the radio. I remember doing a morning show at a radio station. I used to be the news, one of the stations I worked at, I was the news director and the morning show guy simultaneously, which, by the way, was a shit ton of work and was no fun. And I remember one morning I'm in there doing the show and he comes trudging in through the studio door and says to me, Michael, let's try not to be cute on the radio.
What?
And then he just walks away. I'm sitting there thinking, here I am. It's my job to come in here every morning. I get my fat ass out of bed every day at about a quarter till 4 in the morning and get here to the station at about 4:30. And I have to come in here and entertain people. Essentially is what you're doing. You're entertaining people. And you have to pretend that you're happy to be waking up at a quarter till 4 or whatever ridiculously crazy hour it is that you're waking up. And for someone to just walk in and blandly and just very non-specifically tell you, Michael, let's try not to be cute on the radio. I mean, what kind of an atmosphere, what's that conducive to? How am I going to come in and do that job every morning with someone coming in and henpecking me with something so general and non-specific like, let's try not to be cute? I mean, what does that even mean?
Don't be yourself.
I don't know. I'm sitting here trying to figure out what the hell that means.
How would you respond to that? What is it? What sort of behavior is it that you would curtail as a result of someone walking through the door in the studio and telling you that?
Well, especially to a guy. To a girl, if he came in and told me that, I would get it. But to a guy, what the hell? I can't imagine you being on the radio intentionally being cute.
I think maybe I did a fake British accent or something.
You mean stop trying to be funny and just be more deadpan.
Yeah. Michael, let's try not to be so cute. Here's the latest stack of funeral announcements. Sit down and read these. Michael. And there was another station I worked at where the program director used to take all the air staff, round them up. We had these stupid fucking meetings that we all had to attend every Tuesday, and it was in the morning, which means that I had to come in on my time off, because I normally didn't show up to work until about 5 in the afternoon, so I had to show up at about 10 o'clock in the morning during my time off to sit there and listen to this this dyslexic... what's the disease where you have seizures all the time? It's slipping...
Epileptic.
Thank you. This dyslexic epileptic douchebag, Terry Hester was his name, would pull us all into the newsroom and literally scream at us about how stupid we all are and what a shit job we do. I mean, I'm telling you, I've had nothing but bad experiences with people who call themselves program directors. And so when I'm looking for a source of information about where the radio industry is, where it needs to go, where it's been, what the best way forward is, these people are the last source of information that I want to extract that shit from, because they have no idea what they're talking about. You look at anyone who's been successful in radio, who just instinctively knows what it is that people need to hear in order for a show to be successful. None of them have listened to what program directors told them to do. None of them.
Why do they put these douchebags in the program director position? How do they even get that job if they don't know anything about entertainment?
Because they failed as broadcasters, and so they decided that in order to continue to be plugged into the industry, they would instead pursue the management side of things, where they could take their history of failure and parlay that into a position that allows them to speak as if they're some sort of an authority about how to conduct a radio show.
So they take out their failure on the hosts. Okay, makes sense.
You know, I think that's pretty much an accurate assessment. Yes. I mean, they really are. I think radio would be so much more interesting to listen to if these people didn't exist. I understand that, you know, in any business, in any work environment, there has to be some sort of hierarchy, but things need to be organized a little bit differently in radio. I mean, if you bring somebody in and you put them in front of a microphone because you obviously have, it's assumed, you've placed some level of trust in their ability to do the job and to do it effectively. You need to step back, shut the hell up, and let them do what they do. And if you're unhappy with the way they're doing it, then just fire them. But this coaching and, you know, sitting down, listening to tapes of what it is, I mean, and it's always, you're sitting there with someone who couldn't do what you do. You're sitting there with someone who has a hard time stringing together two sentences coherently. And they're going to tell you what it is that you should be coming in at 4:30 in the morning to do on the radio. That's really a hoot. I always appreciated that.
Pig vomit makes complete sense now.
Let me tell you something. This Terry Hester guy, who was the operations manager at one of the stations that I worked at for 3 years, this guy made pig vomit look like someone you would really love to hang out with and go have a beer. That's what a piece of work this guy was. I saw him make people cry. It's like, you can't believe that this is your boss. I mean, he's just so unhinged. I'm just telling you, I've had nothing but bad experiences with program directors. And so reading some post that someone has submitted that contains information extracted from a guy who calls himself a program director, who's been in this same position wallowing away in obscurity for 30 years, as if that's some sort of an accomplishment. That's a dude who failed in life, in my opinion.
The next question is, why does Art listen to these comments? Why does he listen and zone in on these negative posts?
Because he's a human being. I mean, if I get mean, angry emails pretty frequently. I mean, just before the show today, some guy, you know, I send out the notification email to tell people that we're going to have this show. And almost every time I do that, someone emails me back, tell me to fuck myself and to tell me what a cunt I am. Almost I mean, it's just clockwork. And even though at this point, after all these years, I'm used to it, it does still annoy you a little bit if you're a human being. I mean, no matter how, you know, scabbed over you get, and no matter how resistant you get to that sort of energy that people want to launch at you with these little salvos they throw your way, there's still a little part of you that it eats away at. You're like, eh, fuck that guy. You know, I was in a better mood before I read that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And Art's a human being just like anyone else. And I'm sure that if I sent him some email that is really mean or something that causes him to in some way maybe doubt himself a little bit, that, you know, that's going to get to him.
That's going to be the one he remembers because it's negative. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes we think that people like Art, you know, for some reason, the things that people say to them or about them publicly shouldn't affect them. They shouldn't notice it. But I don't really know why we think that way, because I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, you know, we all think, I think that way too. I, you know, sometimes I'm a little surprised by the things that seem to catch Art's attention, but then you sort of have to step back and realize, yeah, he's just a dude like any of us. And so I don't know why we have this assumption that he has this immunity to the things, the shitty things that people are going to say to him or about him. And there's a lot of it out there. A lot of people don't like Art for this or that reason. A lot of people don't like a lot of people.
I think the interesting thing about Art responding to that thing said by the station manager, the original post was back in January, early January. It was in another thread called "Is Art Alienating a Large Section of His Audience?" Mm. And what's interesting about that is I always thought Art just sort of perused the Art Bell thread. So this sort of proves that he's slowly venturing into other parts of Bell Gab, and maybe soon be posting in the Falky thread, and then all hope is lost.
He's going to be posting in the old lady names thread soon enough. Hey, let's go ahead and take a call here. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, MV, how you doing? Nowhere in time. What's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing?
No, you know, you just spurred something. I mean, I need to get something off my chest, but, you know, about being human and talking to people and saying things. And I just wanted to apologize to Art over this air. If he happens to be listening, I said some things I probably shouldn't have said about him. I was a little angry the other day about him. And you're right. It's like you can't just treat people just because they're celebrities or famous people like they're just objects. You have to understand they have lives and feelings and emotions and soul, too. And I just wanted to get that off my chest.
So what was it specifically that you said?
Yeah. Well, I called him an SOB, and I called him an SOB and said he doesn't give a thing, doesn't give a care about his fans, and he spits in our faces. It was an emotional overreaction on my part, but, you know, just listening to you now talk about this kind of spurred this to me and said, you know, maybe just kind of revisit the idea, and maybe I just kind of take it back, you know?
So what you're saying is you found my words inspiring, insightful, and just generally possibly some of the most relevant speech you've heard in a while.
Indeed. You know, hey, every clock is right twice a day. What the hell?
Well,
right?
You know, you throw enough spaghetti, some of that shit sticks. You know, that's the way it goes.
There it is.
Okay,
it is.
Man.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. It was good talking to you. You have a good night. It's Nowhere in Time. You know, his liberal left-wing posts, they sound so unhinged to me, but then he calls. He's a regular guy. Huh. No, I don't. I generally try not to go into the politics of that, you know, part of the forum, but
it's scary over there.
Sometimes, man, there's shit that I read that people type that just makes me go, ugh! And I have to say something. But there are certain people that no matter what they say, I'm just not going to come in and comment on it because
stop. Art Bell is in the room. Can we verify this?
Yes, we can. I'll tell you what. I sent Art a PM on Facebook today with a code word. So if you can repeat the code word, then we'll know it's him.
Okay.
Well, it's unfortunate if that really is Art. It's unfortunate that he's just now getting into the chat room because he missed the apology that was, you know, it was a heartfelt, sincere apology on the part of Nowhere in Time, who wanted to apologize, and I'll just repeat that for Art. He wanted to apologize to you for some of the mean things that he said when it was announced that you wouldn't be coming back as a result of the bumper music thing. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I get why you want to apologize, but, you know, we all care about whether art comes back or not. And so I think it's reasonable that people are going to be emotional when these road bumps are encountered.
When we were talking, was it last week, I believe, and I gave my disclaimer about, you know, we're going to jump around so many directions. You can't help if you're emotional about something to jump all over the map with it.
By the way, guys, I'm not going to post the chat room transcript on the forum anymore because my philosophy, and I think that of everyone else here doing the show, is that if you want the live show experience, you need to be here during the live show. You know, I mean, at that rate, why don't I just film a like video screen cap of my monitor and include that as a WMV or a MP4 file that you can download? You know, I mean,
could you do that?
It's some, well, yeah, I could.
I'll take it.
But I'll just, what I'll do is I'll point my camera at the computer monitor and film the chat room. And I'll just, you know, there will be no aspect of the live show that you'll be missing at that point. I guess the philosophy is that, hey, if you want to have the live show experience, you need to be here during the live show. I mean, you guys kind of agree with that, right?
Yes.
Totally.
It wasn't even my idea not to include it. Whose idea was that? Who was the jerk that suggested depriving everybody of the chat transcript?
I'm over here hiding in the corner.
Was that you?
Well,
you know what? Everyone always thinks Curtis is such a nice guy, never out to offend, always just, oh, hey, whatever floats your boat is fine with me. I want you to know it was Curtis who decided this change needed to be implemented.
Well, I don't know that I'm completely unique in it, but I had the thought at least and voiced it. I think it's cool to know that I mean, the people who download and listen to it are definitely important to us. But as many people as we can drive to join us in the chat room, be a part of this in the moment. I know when I would listen to the Trainwreck show back in the day, I loved being a member of the chat room. Even if we went off on tangents like the chat room always does, it's a cool flash in the moment experience. And I want us to have that too.
Jasmunda, you're a dick. Someone in the chat room says, "Hi, MV, is your avatar on the forum really you?" And you're telling him it is. I'm slightly.
Well, I'm backing him up, so I'm just as bad.
I'm slightly fatter than the guy in the avatar. What avatar am I even using? I don't even remember.
It's that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm a little fatter than that guy. My chin sort of hangs down, and I've got that morbidly obese fat guy scrub on my face where it's real patchy. I'm a lady killer.
All right, but this is what I want to know. Did that kid, is he getting caught looking at another fat kid on the internet in your avatar? That's what it looks like.
You know, I think that is actually, do you know that meme picture where it's this fat guy with pimples all over his face with these oval-shaped glasses, and he's got a ponytail and the patchy facial hair, and there'll be some meme message written. You've seen it. I know you've seen it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's him. It's just another shot of that same guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's the same guy. And that came from some Swedish IRC room or whatever. Is where that's
funny, my avatar is Swedish too.
I think when you become a meme on the internet, your life is pretty much over. You can't really show your face anywhere ever again.
Jenkins, we'd love to hire you here at
Band Even Enterprises.
Waldo Plastics, but I just found out you're an internet meme, so there's the door, jerk. Yeah.
So now that Art has joined us, what do we want to say?
Oh, dear Art, thou art in heaven. I pray to thee that you return to the radio and free us of the bondage that's ensnared us low these many years.
Yeah, have we confirmed that it's Art yet?
Yes, we have.
How?
Oh, we have. Okay.
He's on his iPhone.
How do we know it's iPhone. Art, though?
I'm on my iPhone, too.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, he hasn't given us the code word, but, yeah.
What's the code word?
I believe it was sent him a
code. Well, I can't say the code word over over the air. He has to look in his Facebook messages.
Well, just share it with me.
No one will know.
Seriously, what's the code word?
Well, How can we prove that it's him if I say the code word over the
I just want to know. Why you got to be so resistive? Resistant.
Why do you have to be so rude?
Okay, so someone named Shane is attempting to contact us through Skype. So, Shane, if you're listening, I've accepted your friend's request. And you're more than welcome to go ahead and call in if you like. And if you want to call over the phone, the number to call is 623-242-CAST. It is 623-242-CAST, and we'd be happy to take your phone call.
Did you see what Art just posted?
Yeah.
He just said, on an iPhone 6, the phone he's using, not easy. He said, had a conversation with big guys today. We'll know if we have a deal next week, but looks good. Worldwide coverage will be free. And my sources are saying that Radio Shack, as was posted in the forum, is probably who the big player is.
So you did verify it's Art?
That's what I'm hearing.
Did he come back with the code word?
No.
I think
you guys see that post in the forum about the big player, and then someone might have been Bateman, but I'm not sure, said that. Do you think maybe it was Radio Shack?
Yes, I saw that.
I thought that was funny.
I'm so happy Radio Shack's going away. I have never seen a company that so deserves to just die. And I was in a Radio Shack about 8 months ago.
I worked for Radio Shack for a year, man.
Did you?
It was a great year.
Well, make sure that you put that in bold, large print on your resume from now on. I'm sure that's that should be helpful. But I'm in a Radio Shack about 8 months ago, and I'm talking to the guy working there, and I'm telling him, you know, I've been reading some of the financial news about Radio Shack, and it's not looking good. I think there's a good chance you guys might no longer be here a year from now. And he just totally poo-pooed the whole, oh, no, that's silliness. That's just silly talk. I don't know why you'd believe that, sir. We're Radio Shack. We're going to go away. Yeah, right. But really, I mean, I've just never seen a company so deserving of death. You go in this place, you never, ever, ever walk out of a Radio Shack. Did we talk about this on the show already? I can't remember if we did.
Yeah, we did. We've been over this. Have we? In the chat room, gentlemen.
Did we really already talk about Radio Shack on this show?
Yeah.
So I'm repeating everything I've already said.
Yeah. Are you nervous because Art's listening?
No, I don't want to sound like a douche because I'm talking about Radio Shack again, and I'm probably going to wind up repeating everything I've already said verbatim. You guys should have stopped me while I was behind.
Well, I did. That was me stopping you.
Okay. Well, moving on.
Okay. So he said that he's going to find out probably by next week and give us an answer on this bumper music situation. And he's saying again that it is him. And last time we know that he kind of gets annoyed with us if we keep asking him to prove himself that it's him. WR confirmed that it is. So could we ask him some questions?
Well, if WR confirmed it, then we know it is because he knows what he's doing. He knows what to look for.
I didn't say
he's
that.
The man.
Well, what I want to know is, is this big player in any way involved in the terrestrial radio business? That's what I want to know. I mean, are we talking about like, is Art going to bring his show to terrestrial radio and then from there it's going to be streamed on the internet? I mean, all indicators from what I see seem to suggest that that is the case, because what other big players are there?
I just hope it's not a big player who's going to kind of stab him in the back or mess him up further, you know, like the whole Sirius thing. I just hate to see anything like that happen to him again.
Art,
yeah, what are the trade-offs?
He's going to move to a real computer. It's too hard for him to navigate this on his iPhone.
Art, please call us. I need to hear your voice.
Are you about to write a book?
I'm writing a book about a man who lives in Pahrump, Nevada. He goes to Walmart and gets bitten and turned into a vampire. And
Ponyboy loves this idea already. I think you should continue.
I want to know.
I wonder if Art shops a lot at the local Walmart. And if he does, if people bother him a lot. I'm sure a lot of people in Pahrump know him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure. Do you think that he has the reputation of, hey, let's let this guy have a space? Or is he approachable?
Well, if I saw Art walking around, I wouldn't bother him.
Well, yeah, I agree.
I would just hey, there's Art Bell, you know. But I wouldn't. I don't know. Art's never struck me as the kind of guy that really wants strange men walking up to bother him in the store.
I would probably about 50 plus, smile women insanely and then leave the area.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some kind of knowing, like, look, just some way to say, hey, I know it's you, and I'm not going to bug you about it. And then, mm-hmm. you know, but not share words, because I wouldn't want to ruin the third wall or fourth wall, whatever you call it, that you get from being able to listen. Once you think you know him, then it changes everything.
EIE I know says, if Art calls in, it'll be the first time I hear him. No joke. I don't know why I'm here.
Can that be the top right? I like the one that's there.
When we post the chat room transcript, what I'm going to do is remove everything but the line, I don't know why I'm here. It'll just be one line in a text file, and that'll be the end of it. Let's go ahead and take a phone call here. Hi.
Hi, MV. This is Shane, a.k.a. The Blues from the... forum. I just asked you about your profile picture.
Oh, okay. Hi. You got a I feel so feminine right now. You got such a wonderful radio voice.
Oh, thanks.
I feel so deballed listening to you. Hi, Michael. Wow.
I'm actually still getting over a cold, so maybe that's part of the effect. Just get the flu or something. Your voice will drop a few octaves. It's good.
I have things happen to me. Like, some days my voice is great, and then other days I sound like a complete Nancy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. Sorry, Jez.
Are you a New Zealander by any chance?
No, I'm actually from Melbourne, Australia. Oh,
well, we could be neighbors.
Oh, my.
Go.
It's a little too close to home for
wait,
Jez.
Wait, actually, you weren't. I don't believe you, because you weren't insulted that I called you a New Zealander, so you can't be a true Aussie.
That's what I thought. That was like,
I get that a lot when I'm in the States. I always get the first thing everyone always says, that are you from Canada or are you from New Zealand? I'm like, the other large country. But yeah, it's cool. Hey, I just wanted to have a quick chat, if you don't mind, or ask some questions about the music issue with the streaming for Art. I'm a muso, and I also have a relatively large YouTube channel online, and I know a lot about all the rights and music sort of side of it as well, because I use a lot of music that's my own, and I always have to prove that I own the content.
Why? Wait a minute. You're posting original content in both video and audio form. Everything is original, and you have to jump through the hoops of proving things to people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Just so
that, yeah, and I think that might be part of the problem. Even if you own the content, all you have to do, they occasionally flag certain videos, and then they'll say you have to just provide a form that says you're either allowed to use the content from the people who created the content, or you just have to tell them that you produced it and all that kind of stuff as well. So, I mean... you know, Art's moving with the times. He's doing streaming. He wants to do all that kind of stuff. I think it would be really cool if, you know, if he sort of worked with a few artists that are up and coming, or even just took into account that we could actually provide him music. And if he doesn't like it, he doesn't have to use it, of course. But I thought maybe that some of that, you know, it might be a different direction that might, you know, help his show out. And we could sign over all usage rights to him if he does, you know, end up streaming via YouTube in some capacity. He'd still be able to use the songs. We just have to file, you know, fill out a form, send him a PDF, and that will sort out that issue altogether.
What's your great idea? Do you want to plug your YouTube channel?
Yeah, I can. It's not anything to do with conspiracy theories or George Norrie or Falky or anything, but it's youtube.com/intheblues.
Well, you prefaced that, you qualified it before, like, we were really going to hear something horrible. Yes, it's B_plug196. If you just go there on YouTube, it's really wonderful content.
I don't know what that is. But, yeah, like, I'm a muso. I sent Art a message. I've got 40 original songs. I've got a lot of them in you know, instrumentals. I know lots of people that make great music that would love to... you know, at least offer it in a way that he could just say yes or no. It might be the exact sort of vibe he's looking for. And you know, these are guys that are great artists, and there's a lot of, you know, production quality that goes into their work, and it would be a shame just to sort of discard that as not, you know, good enough. Maybe that
What's the YouTube channel again?
Like I said, it's called In the Blues. I'll spell it out if you like, but it's just, yeah, In the Blues.
That's BLUZEE.
No, it's, I'll type it out. Hang on.
That's INNTHUH. BLOOZE.
No,
in the chat room.
CHE Blues. BLUES.
ZZ.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not relevant to the forum. But yeah, I just think, like,
well, it is relevant. I want people to be able to go and hear what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with Belgrade. So yeah, basically, I just think that there would be a way for him to use really good music by people, or at least give it a chance, and to actually have the rights to be able to stream on these things without having to pay anything. It would just be a really cool idea.
I mean, Art's made it pretty clear that he's sort of married to his old music, and that's what he wants to use. No offense to your music or anyone else's, any other emerging artists.
Now get music, lost.
No, not at all. But yeah.
Well, I think
that makes sense. It makes sense.
I think, though, you make a good point that there are options other than having to use that specific music. I mean, and I pointed out on a previous show, look at another really successful podcast, the No Agenda Show. They have things that they play on that show every time they do a show, and it's all original, and you get to the point where you're totally used to it. What it is that you're hearing, your mind adjusts, and you begin to associate what it is you're hearing with that show, the various drops and jingles and what have you that they play during that show, and you don't ever start thinking to yourself, oh man, if only they were playing Gary Wright, Love Is Alive. He did Love Is Alive, didn't he? I think I'm correct on that.
You win the...
Eddie Kendricks,
Keep on Trucking, 1974.
Just to start him off, though, do you think it'd be a good idea just to get in there and even just use other music temporarily until he sorts out all the other issues, if it ends up pushing it back, say, another 6 months?
I think he's going to probably have this all sorted out before he even returns, and this will be a non-issue, hopefully.
The thing is that Art's such a maverick in all the things he does. He always goes his own direction. And I get, Jazz, what you're saying about he's married to the music, but I think it'd be cool if he picked, you know, the best of the best of all these fans who want to produce something for him and at least try it out. I mean, it doesn't have to be the emerging artist thing that Georgia does. It could be its own own deal, you know, that's actually quality content.
I don't think...
I'd be interested in even putting together just something specific for that, you know, taking into account the kind of stuff that he likes. Like, that would be a lot of fun and a pretty good challenge.
Could you mimic UFO Phil?
I think the whole emerging artist thing that Art does, that's not because the emerging artist thing that George does, that's not because George is interested in music in any way. I've never seen someone who seems more disinterested in music. I mean, George's enjoyment of music seems surface at best to me. Mm. And so I think this whole emerging artists thing is just a bone that he tosses to the audience to say, oh, look what a man of the people I am. Look at what I'm trying to share the glory here. You know, you can bask along with me.
And they'll never see through my fakery.
I'm such a nice guy. I think that's what that all boils down to. But I do appreciate the call. Thank you, Shane.
Shane still there? Or have you dumped him?
I dumped his ass. No, go ahead, Shane. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, go for
go
it.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you go. You go. I'll ask after.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I really enjoyed your podcast over the last few years, MV. So keep up the good work, man.
A few years? You've been around that long?
Yeah, I used to listen to the stream back on Windows Vista.
Wow. So you were listening back during the MV's Radio Trainwreck.
Yes.
Back then.
I sort of was on and off a little bit, and then I eventually
found
the forum.
From time to time. Okay, never mind then. Get lost. I thought you listened to every show. No, I'm kidding. Jasmine, what were you going to say to Shane?
I just wanted to ask Shane how he found being a non-Yank. How did you find Art Bell's show?
I think I was just Googling. I don't really remember. I'd seen the forum over I think I just came across the forum online. I don't really remember how, but I've never really posted on there. I just tend to read more than anything. I don't think I've got any posts on there. But
I'm actually asking about how'd you find Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I just via YouTube, to be honest. That was the place that I first came across it.
Shane, your YouTube channel again, it's In the Blues, as it sounds.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Shane. Thanks for being around for so long. That's awesome.
Cool. Nice. Keep up the great work. Cheers.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you.
Now, the bar has been set too high now.
Entertaining then. Yeah, cool.
Okay. Thanks, Shane. That's Shane from Melbourne. Melbourne. How do you say it, Jays? Is it Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Okay. I'm going to stop.
Now, I thought I had exclusive rights to Belgab from the Australian rights to it, so not very happy with this MV.
I expect maybe right now you're sort of you're peering out the blinds as you do the show with us, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's like turning on the porch light.
See, I thought my distance from all of you guys made me pretty safe and I could say whatever I wanted. Now I've got to look over my shoulders when I go to the supermarket.
Always be king of the Australian chapter.
Is it that of the Michael Van Deven fan club?
As a non-Yank, I've always wanted to say that to someone. Tell me, sir, as a non-Yank, wish I were a non-Yank. I feel so guilty all the time. I just walk around with lots of personal guilt. That was a joke. I don't know. Anyway, if you want to be on the show, 623-242-CAST. Go ahead.
I do have a question for Art, actually, just in regards to his international audience. How big does he think that his international audience was back in the Coast to Coast days? Was it obviously it's not a big slice of the listening audience, but it'd be interesting to see, to know sort of what those numbers could have been.
It seems like back in the 90s, though, after that international line was implemented, I mean, it seemed like it was a pretty regular occurrence that it got calls
on.
Him. There were times you'd be like, "An international line, hello," and then you'd hear, "Hey man, this is Jim from Alabama. I want to tell you, man, I love your show. I just can't get There was a lot of that, but I mean, there were a lot of people calling in from a lot of weird places. And think about the number of people who listen and don't call. There are stats on that. I've heard that. For the average talk show, way less than 1% of the listening audience will actually try and call in. So if you get a random caller, a seemingly random caller, you can kind of assume 100 listeners from that. I don't know if you could extrapolate that necessarily from a caller, but that's the stat that I've heard bandied about. For the call you get, that's, less than 1% of the listening audience is going to place that call. And there were a lot of international calls, so I would think that he had a considerable... I would bet you that his international audience was larger than that of any other talk show during that era of awesome AM talk radio. That was just... Wasn't that just such an awesome era of talk radio, the 1990s?
We did not know how lucky we were at that time. I know I started to take it for granted, I'm going to end my day and it's going to be Art Bell and we'll see what's going on. And yeah, I had no idea how good we had it.
Yeah, there were a lot of great shows. Go ahead.
I hate that I came in towards the end. I think probably his last five episodes of Coast is when I listened.
Man, you missed out on such an experience. I was... it was in 1993 when I first started listening to Art. I was about 13 and, there was nothing like, I initially started listening to Rush just because I was a nerdy, annoying little fat 13-year-old. And that's how I found Art. And there was just nothing else like it out there. I mean, I had seen shows on the paranormal and things of that nature, but there was never anything that went into such depth on the subject. Where, I mean, that's the beauty of talk radio is that you can really drill down into a subject to a granular level. And one of the magical things about Art's show at that time was the fact that there were just so few commercials. I thought that was the first time I'd heard a talk show where they come in at the top of the hour, There's a brief introduction by the host, and then it goes into maybe a quick 1 minute commercial for something, or maybe even a live read for a product. That's what I actually remember, was the, you'd come back from the top of the hour break at 6 minutes past, intros the guest or whatever's coming up, and then does a live read for this or that, and then we're back into the show all the way until the bottom of the hour. No one had that sort of broadcast clock. That was another thing that really struck me when I found Art Bell. There's just so many things about the show.
The time he was on?
Well, I mean, I guess, I mean, there's probably some pointy-headed program director out there that'll tell you, oh, yes, during the overnight hours, we've found that it is the most advantageous to only break at the top and bottom of the hour with a live read at about 8 minutes past the top of the hour. And then that's overnight, I think that is, you know, there's probably someone out there that'll tell you that. But, I mean, I think that clock would be wonderful during any time of the day. I mean, because it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the actual amount of commercial content per hour was. Maybe it was the same. I'm sure that Rush probably had more commercials playing than Art Bell did. Not because Rush's show was superior in any way or anything of that nature. It's just that's how Art had it structured. Well, I guess what I'm saying is maybe his show did have the same number of commercials relative to the other shows that were on at the time. It's just the way the clock, the hourly clock was structured, it kind of fooled you into thinking you're hearing very few commercials. Then again, maybe it really was very few commercials. I just don't know. I haven't actually done the math.
Like, it seemed like a lot less and more actual content, more actual radio. But I mean, back in those days, when you flipped on the radio and you heard Malachi Martin talking with Art Bell about exorcisms and people being perfectly possessed, and how can you peel yourself away from that? I don't know. I couldn't.
Yeah, I know if I'd been listening to Art live through the 90s, I probably would have gone to school for something or to college for something totally different than what I did, because I love hearing all of the talk of physics, astrophysics, you know, the stuff when he would, when it wasn't paranormal, when he'd have somebody who was an expert in their field come on and talk about science, and Art clearly understood on a deeper level than I ever could what they were saying, but he would always go out of his way, or he does, even did this on the Sirius show, which always impressed me. Have them talk, you know, bring it down to a level that the average listener can understand. And it's really gotten me into all of that later in my life, listening to old repeats of the shows. So I know if I'd been listening to this when I was still in high school, it would have changed what my college career would have been.
I kind of felt like I was listening to pirate radio when I would listen to Art's show back in those days.
It had that feel, didn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like, I cannot believe my local station is carrying this. These people at the station are such squares. I cannot believe they're carrying this show. I mean, it's just like, I never cared for the Hopi Elder show. That's one that I can't listen through. But the idea that show was airing on my local station here, I just couldn't believe that this show was on the radio.
Many times when I hear his topics that were just borderline, very borderline and very controversial, you're sitting there going, wow, is this allowed to be on the air right now?
Well, if anybody wants to call the show, the number to call is 623-242-CAST, 623-242-CAST. Art's in the chat room. That might be a good opportunity for you to maybe pose a question or make a comment if you'd like to know that the Talkmaster himself is listening to you and able to hear what it is you're saying. That's 623-242-CAST.
The Art of Talk doing chat.
Someone said that the chat room needs to be beefed up. I forget who it was that said that, but I don't know really what you meant by that. If you meant that we need more listener slots on the stream, that would be true. We only have 50, and it's maxed out every show. As I said at the top of the show tonight, I tried to contact the stream hosting company prior to the show tonight to get them to increase the number of slots, but, you know, they're about as responsive as molasses. It just... maybe next week we'll have more slots. What'll probably happen is I'll increase the number of listener slots, and as soon as I do, our listener count will drop down to like 8 people per show. That's the way it's going to work. So maybe as a result of that, like the quantum relationship between everything in this universe, I should just leave it all as it is. I'm going to screw up the quantum balance of things if I increase the number of listener slots.
We're very Apple about it. We're limiting our supply.
Oh, Art says he is going to be hunting for fresh meat for guests, and he's going to have a lot of unscreened open lines. I mean, how great is that, right? Yeah, I can't wait to hear Art's voice again saying, we don't screen calls around here, you know, and we're going to take your call. Hello, you're on the air. I mean, that is just great stuff.
I want to know, with Dark Matter on Sirius XM, Art wasn't screening calls, but there was someone who would initially pick up the phone and say, hi, who are you? And then pass the call on to Art. And I'm kind of wondering if that's going to be the arrangement this time around, or if it's literally going to be the way it was back in the 90s, at least the way I always understood it to be, where Art just presses a button and you go. Well, I know that's how it was because I called Art's show a couple of times, and that's what happened. He just pushed the button, you hear the telos, and then there you go. You're on the air.
Do you recall what you asked?
I was such a douchey jizzbag. I just wanted to be on the radio with Art. I was such a douche, and I thought that, oh, I'm going to drop this little nugget, and Art's going to be so impressed with me. Here we go. I'm dialing. And then I remember it so clearly. It's 1999, and I'm standing in my bedroom calling, and he answers, and I say, so, Art, you know, it was such a fail. I said, Art. You know, all these computers everyone's buying, I mean, these things, they do take up physical space and we got to throw them all away. So is there going to be some sort of crisis where we run out of landfill space? I swear to God, I am such a douche nozzle. And there was like this pregnant pause where I think Art was a little taken aback by the stupidity of the question that I posed. And he just, in his Art Bell way, spun it into something that he was able to go into a break on top of and just, you know, moved along. And then there was another time, like three or four years prior to that, that I called and I asked him something about Jimmy Hoffa. Like, if only I'd waited till George was hosting the show, I would have had such insightful information about the Hoffa matter. Because as we all know, George was the last guy to interview Hoffa. But I think I called I asked him if Ed Dames had ever remote viewed Hoffa, which at this point I'm convinced whatever Dames said happened to Hoffa, we could use that information to know exactly what didn't happen to Hoffa. Yeah.
Well, I just thought of something. Has Ed Dames ever remote viewed himself?
Why would you, though?
And if he did, what happened?
Wait a minute. I thought Art did ask him to remote view himself.
Did he?
What would you be remote viewing? I mean, what? What would you gain from that? What would you glean from that?
That'd be the ultimate way to verify if it's true or not. You can remote view yourself.
It would probably be the only time he's ever got something right.
I'm in a room writing something down, following the protocols. This is real. Wow.
Me again in the chat room says, Art, so exciting. MV asked earlier if your big player in the industry has anything to do with terrestrial radio. I would really like to know that.
I'm glad you said that screen name, because I've been trying to figure out a way to turn that into Megan.
Well, I had to stare at it. I really felt like I had the incorrect number of chromosomes for a moment as I was reading that.
I kept thinking, is that some kind of like Celtic way of writing Megan?
Art says, nothing is in stone yet, and when the dotted line is signed, I will tell you all some of it. The rest has to be secret so the idiots don't copy it before we start. Wow.
I want to give one piece of advice. No non-competes. That's free.
Apparently, Lisa and Tommy are complete and utter sleazebag trolls that are stalking Art and anything he does, and their mission in life is to ruin it for him. So,
isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, it really is, and that's just disappointing that grown adults actually act like that, but we don't want him to give out any unnecessary clues, because we don't want anything, you know, we don't want them to have any ammunition, of course.
I think it'd be hilarious if Art said that he's going to be appearing on CNCs throughout North America, and so Premier Radio runs out and buys up all the stock of CNCs.
Disinfo. Let's get that cracking.
Yeah, definitely.
God, that's intriguing. I really want... I'm telling you my hope is that it's terrestrial radio with a companion stream. That's what I'm hoping. I think that's what everyone is secretly hoping. I mean, I'll be happy just to be able to hear Art again, but like during the previous announcement when Dark Matter initially was announced in the summer of 2013, I remember just feeling the sense of, it was like all the excitement. Well, not all of it. I was still excited. Hey, Art's coming back. I was still excited at that time. But when I found out that it was Sirius XM, I just kind of, that kind of, you know, just sort of attenuated the excitement a little bit. I had hoped at that time that it was going to be terrestrial radio and they were going to get back to that same model. Because I think Art has a lot of pull. And I think that if he went in and demanded, look, I'm more than willing to come back to terrestrial radio, but here are the conditions. Like when Mike Siegel got the boot and Art came back, Art was able to demand, hey, here's the amount of commercial content that I'm willing to accept per hour. And I think there were a few other demands that Art had, and they were all met, to my knowledge. And so if somebody wants Art badly enough, they're going to meet those demands. I mean, what other... There is a huge talent drought in talk radio today. And so I don't care what the perception of Art happens to be. I don't care if you think he's a serial quitter, or if you think he's an unreliable commodity, or whatever it is that you think might be a problem for Art. I guarantee you there are plenty of terrestrial radio entities out there that would love to know that when they flip on the radio every night, they're going to hear Art Bell sitting in front of a microphone broadcasting for their company. I don't care what type of history. You're talking about a guy that had 15 million weekly listeners back in the 1990s, people. I mean,
yeah. I don't care how many cute crown avatars George Noron wants to get. We know who the king is.
I mean, don't you think that makes sense? I mean, regardless of whatever history people think would be an impediment to Art returning to terrestrial radio. I mean, at the bottom line is the fact that the guy had 15 million listeners per week. That's not someone who has a hard time finding work if he chooses to find it. So I think if he decided to come back to terrestrial radio, I think that would be something entirely doable. I just hope that's why it ends up happening. I mean, that's just my personal hope. I hope he ends up coming back to terrestrial radio and he demands a low level of commercial content per hour and we just get our cake and we can eat it too with the companion stream that everybody is able to hear for free all over the internet that goes along with it. That would just be so awesome to me. What do you guys think about that?
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Okay. Jazz?
Well, you guys are a fountain of commentary. I guess show's over, huh?
Well, I was waiting for them to comment.
What are you guys doing? I hear you click, 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 clicking away. I think you're staring at the chat room, you guys. Is that what's going on here?
I just actually got kicked out of the chat for some reason.
Why?
So I was trying to get back in. No, not kicked out. I don't know. Just all locked up.
Like timed out or something?
Yeah.
Which it shouldn't have, but...
Okay.
What I was going to say is with what you were mentioning there, the whole idea, anything that makes Art's voice get to more people, which then enhances the experience as a single listener who can go to a forum like Bell Gab or whichever one they pick and be able to talk while he's on the air. You know, I love the live forum threads. Anything that makes that audience bigger is better.
That was really a lot of fun during Dark Matter, wasn't it? Just going to Bell Gab every night and just watching those threads.
It was fantastic.
A new thread, you started at the beginning of the show and within a couple hours, hey, what do you know, 32 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
It's going to happen again, you guys.
I look forward to it.
Keep the faith. Keep the faith.
We're waiting for you, Art.
Okay, everybody. Thanks to everybody listening in the chat room. Thanks to Art Bell for joining everybody in the chat room. That's always a treat. And if you'd like to download the show after the fact, you can do so by visiting ufoship.com. That's ufoship.com. And I would really encourage people, if you have a mobile device, Android, iPhone, I don't know if Beyond Pod is available on iOS or not, but on the Android side of things, what I use is an app called Beyond Pod. And what you can do is install that app on your phone, go to ufoship.com, click on the RSS... click on the RSS feed link, and that's going to open up the feed in your podcast app, Beyond Pod. And then from there, what'll happen is you'll just magically get the show every time we do it. You don't have to do anything. It'll just show up on your device. Isn't that wonderful? That's the best way to listen to the show. I encourage people to do that. So go to ufoship.com and also check out the fret files at ufoship.com. That's Eric.
Good show.
It is. And Redacted, you're on that show regularly, aren't you?
Not anymore.
Oh, really? You got the boot, did you? You know what?
I did.
Women in broadcasting, they have a tough row to hoe. They really do.
Hey, I'm tougher than broadcasting, okay?
Well, that's the fret files available at ufoship.com. It's a guitar workshop podcast where Eric talks about anything pertaining to guitars. I always like to say anything pertaining to the physicality of a guitar. That's what Eric talks about. So even if you don't care about playing the guitar, just the way he delivers the show, it's such a great show to listen to in either case. So that's ufoship.com, and you can catch all of us at bellgab.com as well. We'll be catching you there, too. So everybody have a good night. Thanks for listening. Catch you later. See you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Art Bell.
FreeArtBell.com.
You've been listening to The Gabcast, a podcast about bellgab.com. Now get lost.